Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. So today we're talking about relationships sell, which is part 23 of 30 in this 30-part series I'm doing on my book, Who's Buying You? Until you sell yourself, you won't sell much. So today we're on chapter 23. Again, relationships sell. So the subtitle of this chapter is Until You Sell Yourself, You Can't Build a Relationship. You got to sell yourself in order to create the foundation so that you can build a relationship. This applies to all areas of life, not just if you're selling a product or a service. You got to sell yourself to build that relationship. You got to sell yourself to get that raise. You got to sell yourself to get that promotion. You got to sell yourself to get that client. In your personal life, you got to sell yourself to get that relationship with that person you want. You got to make it happen. Unless you can sell yourself, you can't build a relationship. Jeffrey Gittimer had this to say, and this is a really great quote that opens up this chapter. He said this right here. If you make a sale, you can earn a commission. If you make a friend, you can earn a fortune. This philosophy is rarely used in sales. Those who employ it are the top performers and the top paid salespeople. They build relationships. Those were the words of Jeffrey Gittimer. If you don't know who he is, that last name is Gittomer. If you're in sales and you don't know who Jeffrey Gittimer is, you definitely need to find out. He's got lots and lots of content. I'm sure he's got podcasts or YouTube channels or something. He got a lot of stuff, I'm sure. He definitely got a lot of content. Got some books out there. You definitely want to study up on him. So I want to talk about back when I shared with you that Eric and I developed the plan to help the buyers he met while selling cars. You know, when we did that, neither of us had read the quote that I just shared with you from Jeffrey Gittimer. We just had learned so much about personal growth and development and how to build relationships with people that we already knew that. We already knew he didn't need to focus on making a sale. He needed to focus on making a friend. And I've talked to you a lot about that throughout this book. This chapter is just specifically about that. But, you know, the principle in that quote from Jeffrey Gittimer, where he says, if you make a friend, you can earn a fortune, is the very principle Eric planned to apply, along with many other principles, to be successful and effective in that job as a car salesman. Eric didn't plan to chase commissions. He planned to make friends. And that's what he and I talked about, strategized about, all the different ways he could do exactly the opposite of what most car salesmen that I've ever met actually did or do. But making friends of buyers is a hard thing to do when you're expected to force your buyers into the sales funnel using a sales script. That's what happened. He fell right into that right off the bat. And he was frustrated. He was miserable. He didn't do that job very long. I think I shared with you before, someone came in to buy their daughter a car and was so impressed with Eric. They wanted to take him out to dinner and they hired him off of that lot to go do something else. And they turned him loose. And the boy made $10,000 in commission the very first month with zero experience. And he didn't, I don't even know if he made $10 selling those cars. He might have. He didn't stay long. He was struggling. But he was struggling because he was being forced by those low-impact sales managers to try to force buyers into a sales funnel using a sales script. He couldn't be himself. See what he did? We're talking about right here. He couldn't sell any cars because they forced him to follow the script. But he still sold himself. He sold himself so much that that guy hired him off the lot, wanted to take him to dinner. I remember that guy telling me, and it's been a while since we've done that other chapter, but or since I recorded it, but I don't remember if I told you. I met that guy who hired Eric, and he told me that's the first time he ever interviewed anybody and took 3 pages of notes while he was doing it. He means he took 3 pages of notes listening to Eric during the interview, all the stuff Eric was talking about and teaching him because he'd been reading all these books. Anyway, enough about that. So you may remember also I shared a story about my friend Steve Lynott's father, Matt, dedicated this book to him, actually. I never met him. He had passed away when I met Steve. But Steve shared a story about his dad, Matt. And I shared that earlier. In an earlier episode, I talked to you about that. But Steve's very proud of the character and integrity his dad displayed during his nearly 50 years as a very successful sales professional. And you may remember he was selling high school yearbooks. So Steve provided a second story for me that I could share in this book that shines light on what relationship building looked like in his father's career. So I want to share that with you here. A second story from Matt Lynott, shared through Steve, his son. So Steve tells this story about his father. He actually wrote it to me in an email when I told him I was writing this book. He told me all about his dad. And I said, if you want to share anything, I said, I may put it in the book. And he shared some good stuff, and this was part of it. So here it goes. This is from the email that Steve sent me about his dad, Matt. He said, near the latter stages of dad's career, he took me with him as he made calls on his yearbook advisors. He wanted me to learn the business and see if it was something I was interested in pursuing. Dad and I entered one of the high schools he had been selling to for a long time. As we entered the yearbook advisor's office, the woman looked at me and said, "You're Steve, aren't you?" I was more than surprised. I had never met this woman before, he says. She saw the startled look on my face. She reached down, opened her top drawer, and pulled out a picture of my family, saying, "I've known Matt for years, and each one of you indirectly." That's pretty powerful. So you think about that. Steve was just riding along with his dad, and then he met a customer, and the customer pulled out a picture of him and his father and his mother and his family. The customer did. That's pretty powerful. And she already knew his name just when he walked in the room with his dad. He didn't need an introduction. Steve went on to say this. He said, "I've been very troubled over the years at how people view sales professionals. They are seen as money hungry and not to be trusted. My father was a true professional. He loved his work and his clients, and they loved him back." That's because relationships sell. Exactly what this chapter is about. If Steve's dad were alive today, He would be proud to know Steve is still sharing his stories. I'm also sure Matt could have done a much better job filling this book that I'm talking to you about with principles and stories than me. He could have did a much better job than me, no doubt about it. Sounded like he was a true sales pro, and that's what he did for a living. So I'm grateful Steve shared a little about his dad with me. He took time to write those emails, messages out and send me those. And it was pretty cool. It's a privilege to include a little about Matt's legacy on the pages of this book. And think about this. Matt's legacy is helping you make your greatest sale yourself. Matt's helping me because Steve told me about him. He's helping me help you sell yourself. He left a legacy. That's pretty powerful. When we talk about building a legacy that matters, that's what we're talking about. Not something you leave for somebody, like some money or some property or whatever. A high impact leader wants to leave a legacy in somebody, within somebody, not for somebody. And there's no doubt Matt's legacy lives on through Steve and now through the pages of this book. It's pretty cool to be able to do that for someone. And Matt probably had no idea he would ever be featured, maybe in any book, but especially this little sales book of mine that's all about selling yourself. So if you are a professional salesperson, just got some questions for you to think about. Do your repeat customers have a picture of your family? Would you even feel comfortable showing them one or giving them one? Because if you don't have a good relationship, unless you just like showing pictures to everybody, you probably wouldn't be thinking about showing them a picture of your family. If you just got a strictly business relationship. Do you discuss your personal life and your family with your customers? Some people don't even do that. Do you know the name of their spouse or their significant other? Or if they even have one? We're talking about your repeat customers because you should have gotten to know them by now if you're going to. Do you know anything about their children? Or if they have any or want any? I could list a lot of questions. But that ain't the point. The point's just get you thinking. Asking yourself, could you build a stronger relationship with your customers? Especially your repeat customers. If they're repeat customers, you've already sold yourself once and they like you. But is there some room for improvement there? I know there is. The question is, do you know there is? Are you truly interested in anything other than making the next sale? That's the real question. I hope you are. If not, the question you must be asking yourself is this one right here. What am I leaving on the table? And maybe more importantly, what does this say about my character? If all I'm worried about is a sale, do I truly care about my customers as people? Or do I simply treat them as objects making purchases? What do my actions communicate to them about me? So David Schwartz had this to say. He says, big people monopolize the listening. Small people monopolize the talking. And that's something I have to work on all the time. I love to talk about personal growth and leadership development. But when I meet new clients, I have to listen. They don't understand. They don't know what I know. I know that the principles that I talk about and teach about apply to everybody, everywhere. They don't know that. So I got to listen to them tell me how they're all different, how their problems are different, how what's going on in their company is different because of whatever. It's not different. It's the same. I already know that. Because what I'm going to do is teach principles. It's like me teaching gravity. And I ain't trying to sound cocky and too much pride and ego right here. I'm just saying, if I needed to teach somebody about gravity, anybody needs to learn about gravity. Somehow, if they've lived on Earth and they don't know about gravity, they need to know about it. And what you're going to teach them about gravity, the principles, going to be the same. And the results they'll get applying those principles in situations where you need to learn to know about gravity, it's going to be the same. And that's what I know about principles of human interaction. But so I have to work on this. I have to go slow. Sometimes I'd sit there for 30 minutes or 2 hours listening to the same exact thing I've heard every single place that I go to. But each person, this is what you got to know. I haven't talked to these people. These people need to feel understood. So to help them feel understood and build a relationship, guess what I got to do? Same thing you need to do. Sit there and listen. Listen and help them feel understood. When they feel understood, they'll be happy to listen to you. But if they don't feel understood, they're just waiting to talk. They ain't listening to you. So as I'm sure you know already, whether you're a salesperson or not, professional salesperson, you already know this. Salespeople love to talk. If they don't, they're probably in the wrong business, because it's hard to sell something if you can't talk or you ain't willing to talk. Or you just want to sit there and listen the whole time and you never got nothing to say about the product or the service or yourself or the business or the industry or the performance, all that sort of stuff. However, you may not know the very best salespeople would rather listen first and talk second. And I shared a bit about that with you a moment ago. And sure, these people, these salespeople, they love to talk too. But only after they've listened and feel they understand. And the key part still is the customer's got to be the one that decides that the salesperson understands. So you got to be able to listen in a specific way so that you can understand when the customer feels understood. When the customer feels understood, that means they believe that you understand. I know we're getting all tangled up here, but that's the way it is. Most of the time when a true sales pro is talking, they're asking thought-provoking or information-gathering questions. These questions allow them to leverage their words to gain additional influence and to make a stronger and better connection with the buyer. If salespeople are focused on making friends and building relationships, they want to learn more about the buyer, not what they want, how many they want, when they want it, or when they can pay for it. Amateurs tell others about their products. Professionals ask others about their lives because they're building relationships. Rob Wallman had this to say, and he said it simply enough. Relationships are about relating. If you don't spend time relating, there won't be any relationship. I mean, that's pretty simple right there. I call that country style. That's simple. That's what I like. I like simple. I'm going to say that one again because it's simple and it makes a lot of sense. Relationships are about relating. If you don't spend time relating, there won't be any relationship. Common sense, but I'm telling you, I've dealt with a lot of salespeople in my life. It's not common practice. So based on my own experience, many salespeople who are focused on the short-term sale pack their schedule as full as they can get it. These same salespeople tend to also be those who are often late because they were with another customer. You ever heard of that one? They also tend to rush their time with you because they know they have another appointment immediately when they're done with you. Think of your doctor or your dentist. Are they relating? I can tell you this right here. My doctor and my dentist relate. That's why they're my doctor and my dentist. I know these two guys are busy. But they don't make you feel like they're busy. They act like they got all day. They don't take all day, but they come across as they got all day. They don't come in there rushed. They'll have a conversation about something besides anything medically. Pretty amazing. The family practice doctor that I go to, when we moved from Auburn, Alabama up near Atlanta, Georgia, it's about 75 miles. I still go to that doctor. We moved up here in in the area we're in now in 2015 near Atlanta. And I'm recording this in 2024. It's been 9 years I've been going back. It's because of the stuff I'm teaching you in this book. He does it. He's a doctor. My mom goes there. My brother goes there. Rhea goes there. Because of who that doctor is. He knows what I know. Relationships sell. And I dread the day I got to change doctors. Because what happened is I go to the doctor and I won't like the doctors. Then I got to go to another doctor. I got to go shop around because until you go through the process, it's kind of hard to know which doctor you need to go to. Yeah, people can tell you who's a good doctor, who's not a good doctor, that sort of thing. But let's say studying all this stuff that I'm studying, they don't know what it is I'm looking for. And it's a lot more than just what I've shared here. But it's absolutely what I share throughout this book. This is anybody I do business with. This is the kind of people I'm looking for. So let's talk about the seller beware points at the end of each chapter that I share with you. Seller beware, point number one. The stronger the relationship, the more sales you will have. Relationship sales. Seller beware, point number two. The best salespeople build strong relationships. Their customers become their sales and marketing team. Seller beware, point number three. Being late doesn't strengthen relationships. Rushing buyers doesn't strengthen relationships. Slow down. If you're a professional salesperson and you want to be a sales pro, slow down. That's what I just told you about my two doctors. It doesn't mean I want to sit there and talk about junk forever, but when they walk in to deal with me, that's what they do. I'm sure they wide open till they open that door. When they open that door and walk in the room with me, they slow down. Not just me, it's everybody. My eye doctor, same exact way. A lot of doctors, I hear people moan, groan, and complain about the doctors. I guess they just settle like a lot of people in life do. They go to the doctor and they don't like them and whatever, they just keep going. I have no idea why. I forget how many dentists I went to before I found the dentist I want to keep going to, the one I still go to. He's got a phenomenal office, a phenomenal staff. Every one of these doctors I'm talking about, I'm thinking of three at the moment. I don't really have to go to the doctor very much. I go with my regular checkup, you know, annual checkup, the dentist, and my eye doctor. Give me some contacts and some glasses. That's pretty fortunate. And if I get directed to some other doctors, I trust these three doctors to get me to somebody worth going to. Because what I teach in all of my books, who we are is who we attract. It's good stuff. It applies everywhere. All right. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. And I really, if you're still listening, I hope you're taking the time to listen to the Real People Getting Real Results series that's coming out currently on Fridays at noon. And I really hope you go into our Blue Collar Leadership YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ Blue Collar Leadership, and you'll find it. But there's a playlist, Real People Getting Real Results. Hope you'll go there and watch some of those videos. They're kind of lengthy. You don't have to watch them all at the same time, but I'm sharing my network of high impact people with you. They're at different levels in their journey. Some of them have been doing it for years and years and years. Some of them are brand new to this growth journey, and some are somewhere in between. All different industries, all different kinds of people doing all types of work. Somebody may be entry level. Somebody may be a owner or top level. Somebody could be in a support role, all over the place. The common thing is I know these people at some level. And for some crazy reason, I had an idea to start sharing these people with everybody else, shining my light on them. I don't know why it took me so long, but in a way it's good that it did, because I got tons of people to share with you. So every week those will be coming out. So if you haven't listened to some of those episodes, go check them out. there's going to be a new one coming every week for quite a while, unless we get too busy and I have to, you know, pop out some teaching or something like that. But once I get this series right here wrapped up, I'm going to be focusing on sharing those interviews with you, and periodically I'll do some teaching like I've done, but I've got almost 400 episodes. There's a lot of teaching already. If you're new to this podcast, you want to go back and start over, you got a lot of listening to do. And don't forget about Rhea, my wife Rhea. She's got a podcast. If you got a significant female in your life, wife, girlfriend, sister, mother, daughter, you want to point them in the direction of Rhea's podcast, some of her books. Think about that. Graduation is coming up from high school. Rhea's got a book called The Ladder of Influence, 5 Steps for Climbing to the Next Level and Beyond. When I read that book, when I was editing that book for her, proofreading it, I told her, I said, every person in high school, boy or girl, every one of them ought to have to read that. It ought to be required reading before they graduate high school. So if you got a young person in the 10th, 11th, 12th grade, or maybe they're in college, you might have missed them. That book right there, you need to get them a copy of that. If you've got any high schoolers living in your house, you need to get you and your spouse, if you have one, and your teenagers a copy of that book each, and go through a book study. Listen to episode 305, facilitate a book study with your teenage children on there. You will help them tremendously by introducing them to what's in Rhea's book, helping them understand the big picture of personal growth and development relative to character and competency, relative to doing it at work and at home. That's what makes that book so good. It's the big picture of how to develop intentionally your influence, but also how to leverage it, your influence at work and at home. I'm telling you. And if you ain't read it, you need to get it. Dive into it. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.